I'm concerned maybe this morning in the opposite of the great snare, and that's possibly the world around us is trying to put out our light, take away from the salt that we're supposed to be. Get us to water down, get us to compromise. And if we're not single-eyed, then our life is going to have darkness. We're going to enter into darkness. We must be single-eyed. To be single-eyed, you must see something. This cannot be a believism that comes only from our minds. It cannot be that which is based upon reason. I don't care how well the facts you know, without the revelation, without the Spirit revealing, because we cannot know the things of God except by the Spirit. We do not yet know them, even though we believe them. And I'm afraid that much of our walk is made up of beliefs rather than the reality. God wants to bring the reality into each one of our lives to realize that faith alone walks in the life of God. Faith, a response, a direct response to the Lord Himself, which has come to be our life. We are to live, as I said a few weeks ago, we are to live from Him. Another word we might use, we are to live by Him. He is the source of our life. We're not looking for a way to try to please Him. Faith is the only thing that can please Him. So let's get our minds zeroed in to that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if we go out here and we search the Word to see what He wants, or try to see what He wants, yet you can't find out what He wants. Even if you search the Word, you can come up with certain doctrines and certain things, but this does not have life. The only thing that has life is Christ. And that's what He's come to do. He's come to give us life. What does it mean to have life? One of the things it means, and I want us to look at that very, very seriously today, and that is that if we are in Him, we're in light. If our eye is single, in other words, if we are looking, our whole purpose, our whole heart is single, that's what it's actually saying, then our life is going to be full of light. Jesus, of course, has said that you are the light of the world. He was the light. When He left, we are the light. And it is because of our union with Christ that we are the light. And as John tells us, we've been it over so many times, but you can't help but go over it again because I rejoice every time as I read it. Lord, make it more real to me. Even in 1 John, let me read it there to you. The life was manifested, and we have seen it, bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifest unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. You can see everything is based upon one thing, fellowship, relationship. It's not talking about, it's not reasoning out. It's not just sharing what we believe. Our fellowship, it says, is with Him. And that's why He goes on to say, if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, then we're going to have fellowship with each other. Fellowship is within that light. It's within the very life of God that we're experiencing. Fellowship cannot be based upon anything else except the life of God Himself. Listen to what it says, though, because here's the thing that creeps in on us. This then is the message that we have heard from Him in declaring to you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we have say we have fellowship with Him, walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light. These are powerful truths that we need to consider and realize what is happening to us. This is so simple, And yet it is the deepest truths that God teaches in His Word, that He has spoken to us. Because this is where the enemy of our soul strikes at, to get us to compromise. Rather than being light, you know, just walk a little bit in the gray areas. It doesn't make any difference. And we're constantly being bombarded to just let down the standard. But see, it isn't a question of us letting down the standard, it's a question of us letting down our relationship. As long as we're in a relationship with God, we are going to be light. It's only when we draw away from Him, only as we don't feel the love of God that binds us together as He has done in Christ, that we start to look to ourselves and start to compromise. Truth is a place of freedom. Truth sets us free. Free into the life of God. Not free into a place of doing what we want to, but freed into the life of God where I now can know Him. I can express Him. I can be. Simple statement, but it's profound. I can be a son of God, a daughter of God. I can know His presence and His working in my life. Another place that he speaks about, and you might look at it, it's found when he speaks about salt and light. He speaks about that in Matthew 5, in the 13th through the 16th verse. Also in Luke 14, 34 through 35. Salt. You're the salt. The salt has lost its savor. It's no good to anything. It's nothing good for the dunghill. It's no good for anything. We are the salt that's in this world today. All right, single eye. That means my whole heart is set upon Him. I didn't say my mind was set upon Him. My heart is more than just that pumps blood. My heart is the whole inner working of man, who I am. I'm not just mine, as some would think. But that's why he says heart. Our heart is set upon Him. There's too many today to have their mind set upon Him, but you see that doesn't do the work. In other words, their will is not free to do His will, to walk in faith. Because that's what faith does. It walks in union with Christ. It knows Him, experiences Him, it grows in likeness, it's being conformed to its very image as we move in union with Him. What a tremendous work that God has chosen when He said in Galatians, faith has come. Glory. It's not us now just responding once in a while to when God speaks to our heart. Faith has come to where? To abide within you. Faith has come. The author of faith has come to abide within you. We live by faith now. We're not just trying to hear words. We're living from the source of life. We're living from Him. As you go on to see here, but if we walk in the light, that's just not walking in a set of commandments. That's walking in relationship with Jesus Christ and the Father. That's starting to know Him, to experience Him. Because when we talk about knowing, we're talking about experiencing. When we're talking about experiencing, we're talking about faith that goes on in and knows the Lord. Because too many will say, I knew you, I did this, but he said, I don't know you. There has been no intimacy in our relationship. You have not known me, you've only known about me. Sometimes we think that Religion is what God is doing, and when we start to speak a little bit about it, we think that we're criticizing. But there is a vast gulf between religion and life. Religion is what every man can do for God. Life is what God has done for us. You can't mix the two. They don't mix. There's no place of compromise in between. Religion is what man can do for God. We have it on every hand. When we speak or try to warn against it, we're not in any way being critical in the way that would take and deface man. But the way man is going, what man has set his mind upon, because that's all it is. He can't set his heart upon it, because when he searches for God with his whole heart, he'll find God. But when he sets his mind to be justified in what he does, then he ends up with one thing, a religion of what he can do for God. And it's deceiving. Very deceiving. We must know who we are. We must know what God is doing. Is that too much to ask? Because on every side, there are those that are trying to do something for God. Trying to move out there. And I had a letter this past week of a man that he feels God has called him to a 40-day fast. That'd be all right if it was for the proper thing. To draw near to God. And to know the strength of God, and to know God rather than to know his own self, but to take and fast for what he thinks God is doing. What do we believe God is doing? How do we believe God is doing it? Is God using the things of this world to build his kingdom? This world passes away, and the kingdom of God is everlasting. He's not built upon what man can do. This man was all shook up because the radio station that he used to be on, or one of the only radio stations that is working in England, somehow he feels that the government is going to maybe revoke their license. Who cares? Long as it's there, use it. But when it's revoked, what do we do? God's not concerned, if you'll understand what I'm saying, God's not concerned with radio stations. God is concerned with you and me. We are the light. Radio stations are not the light. The printed page is not the light. He was getting ready. I guess he lost his position also as a writer in one of the evangelical papers in England. And he said, well, I'm going to come through that. I'm just going to... But see that we put our trust, man puts his trust. And it was only a voice that spoke to me. Man, how far can we go and think that we're moving with God? And yet miss what God is doing because we do not know. We're not desiring the calls of God in our life. We're not desiring for to reveal to us the revelation that's going to hold us steady in Him. I'm bound to His Word, that Word that's settled, His Word that's life and spirit. That's what I'm interested in. That's what you're interested in. That's the only thing that's going to give you purpose. That Word that is eternal. It doesn't speak of all of these other things. These are things that man has added in and trying to work the works of God that are not, have no part as far as what the church is. When God comes for His church, He's not going to take radio stations, printing presses, or any outworking of what man is doing. I don't care how good it looks. God's design is perfect. Amen? And that design is, He has chosen man as vessels whereby to bring forth His truth. It's fellowship in the life of God. And as we look at these things around us, we think, well, all of this, you mean it has no meaning? You see. If we don't know what God is doing, then we think that they have meaning. We just shouldn't say anything. Well, we need these things. What if the world comes to an abrupt end around us? What if we this morning would, you say we're not there, but what if we were? This morning, what if we were in some of the communist countries where there is no freedom of any sort? You know, it's funny. But as you read about the church, it has grown and prospered under persecution such as this, more than all of the other affluency that we see around us, and the freedom to do what we want to, and with all of the printed page. The ones that are under persecution, the ones, Lord, that even have, if they're going to have a scripture, they have to write a verse on a piece of paper, hide it in their heart. Well, how much more do we need the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us into all truth? Do we really earnestly realize that God is our provision? As he says in one place over there, I think it's in Ezekiel, he says, I am their inheritance. Whose inheritance? The priest. Who are you? Priest? Are you priest?
Kings.
Kings and priests with him, but he is our inheritance. And we must be enjoying this. If it's only a exercise of the mind, I can guarantee you're not enjoying it. But if you've entered into a relationship, even though you have to go through some hard places, there's a rejoicing in your heart. You're enjoying him just to see what God will do today. To experience it, to know the power, the ability of God in our lives to go through these times is a time of true rejoicing in him. Let's look at these very provocative verses. See if God can give us some understanding on it, because everybody always goes back to these three verses. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. That's for all mankind. If any of us say that we have no sin, or if we come to God and say, I have no sin, well, he tells us there the truth is not in us. Then, look what he says, secondly, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what he said, I will cleanse them from all unrighteousness. That is, if we confess our sins, he is faithful to do a perfect work. The old covenant could not do a perfect work, but we have entered into the new covenant that's able to do a perfect work. It's able to cleanse you from all sin to where you don't have to sin. There's no tendency to sin. When you're satisfied with Jesus, you're not going to sin. It's only when you become dissatisfied with Jesus that you're drawn out to satisfy your own desires and your own lusts. To work out things your way. But when you're satisfied, it's a joy to see what God is going to do. It's a joy to experience him today and to see that the door that was shut, he opens. Glory. Then the last verse, if we say we have no sin, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Not speaking about a Christian, we just got cleansed from all unrighteousness. Mm-hmm. If we say we have no sin, that's what the heathens say. That's what the ones that do not believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. That's what the Gnostics say. We have no sin. Where's our sin? And of course, we run into this today on every hand, right? Are you out there talking to anybody? We don't sin. We don't have no sin. What do you mean sin? We make him a liar and his word is not in us. My little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Whereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. And He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Keeping his commandments. In other words, living out of his life, living the living word. We're bound even by trying to read this. The Spirit of God must make this alive. Commands are his word. The word that lives within us, the living word. Christ is that word. He said, the words that I speak, they're not law. He didn't say that. He said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. And that's what they must be to each one of us. The words that Jesus speaks, the commands that are spoken. God never speaks to us and say, well, if you like, you can do this. Come on. Have you ever heard God speak that way?
No.
If you think you have, you haven't heard it. I've never heard God speak on that vein. When God speaks, it's always a straightforward, do this. When he's speaking, this is life. This is what he has brought us into. This is what eternal life is all about. Because if we're depending on something else, if we're depending this morning on the acceptance of those around about us, my first allegiance must be to him. Glory.
Amen.
And I think most of us know this morning. This is not something new that we're telling you. Your allegiance must be wholly to God. I'm not here to please man. I'm not here to be liked by man. Great snare to most of us. We want acceptance. I'm not here to be accepted. If I walk in the light, those that are in the light will have fellowship with me. I'm not looking for acceptance of the world. When you do, you will compromise. And you will think, well, boy, this is enjoyable. People like me. The end, destruction. Listen to what it says. Those verses that we repeated about out of this track. Depart from me, I never knew you. Ye workers of iniquity. Only faith is going to uphold. Only faith is going to move. You can read about all of the ones that stood the test. It was by faith. They're listed over there in Hebrews. Faith. And we have entered in to the fullness. That which could not make them perfect has come to make us perfect. You don't believe that? That's what it says. What they had could not make them perfect. But what God has brought in to give us can make us perfect.
Amen.
Not the perfection that you think to where you're just over here and the end has come. No, no. Perfection is not that. But he has brought you into Christ. In Christ, there is perfection. The life that you now live is Christ. It's no longer your life. I don't think that's dawned on many of us, even though we know it in our minds, to know it by faith and to move in it. The life that I now live, it's not my life, it's his life. How many of you struggling trying to live his life? You never struggle to try to live his life.
Amen.
Don't tell me you try to struggle. There's no struggling in living his life. That life is going to be tested. What he has given you will be tested. Faith will be tested. But it's no struggle. This life is peace and joy and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Without it, without righteousness, no man is going to see God. To know that peace that abides in your soul is between you and God. Not you and me, you and God. Then if we're walking in the light, we will enjoy that peace together. But first, let me say this. Peace is not based upon our relationship with each other. Peace is based upon my relationship with God. He has given me peace. He has given you peace. And that's a tremendous gift, I feel, in God, to know that peace. I know early in my walk with Christ, when that peace got disturbed, for ever what reason it was, I had to find a place to where I could pray and see God. I had to have that peace. I had to know that peace. I had to know the quietness to know that I'm accepted by Him. I don't care how long it took. I don't care what I had to do. I stopped and I did it. You'll find that peace is a great value in our walk with Him. And that's what He gives. That's what He gives us. But there's no compromise in this. But that's what the enemy of our soul is desiring us to do. He don't want to make you a drunkard. He just wants you to compromise with him. Let down your standard. There's many words that we could use this morning, but the one that stands out in my own heart as far as any aspect that I have to do in this, my commitment to Him. When He has drawn me, when He has shown me who He is, it's my commitment. Commitment of what? My will to do His will. And that's important. Not everyone that saith the Lord, Lord, but he that what? Doeth the will of the Father. Now, I must be committed to that. You must be committed to that. It isn't trying to force you to do it. It isn't trying to shame you into doing it. You must be committed to doing the will of the Father. Because you're a new creature. You now have the ability to do which you did not have the ability before to do. But commitment comes into play. I'm committed to one thing. The will of my Father. And as He reveals it, I'm committed to it. I don't have to ask whether I'm committed to do it or not. Somebody doesn't say, what about if this happens to you? I'm committed. When did you commit? A little over 40 years ago. I don't have to recommit every day. I don't have to wait and have a commitment service to where I commit afresh. I'm committed. Now, that doesn't mean that I can't grow cold and indifferent. But as long as I'm living in the light and walking in the light, as long as you're in this place of life and relationship with Him, you're committed. And remember, beloved, when God speaks to us, He doesn't speak so broadly that we can't understand. He speaks very simply. You know what He's saying. You don't have to figure it out. If you have to figure it out, then go home and pray until God speaks to you. If it isn't clear, the clarity of it is not based upon what God has said. It's based upon your understanding. If I don't have understanding, I'm going to wait upon God until He gives me understanding. Because, beloved, I don't know about you, but when I don't have understanding, I don't seem to have that abiding peace. And so what do? I must have that peace. To have that peace, I must get the understanding. He is my understanding. As long as I'm trying to figure it out, reason it out, it's turmoil. I've entered into rest. What? I've ceased from my labors. You have ceased from your labors. Who's laboring? He's laboring. He is working all things to the end, to the glory of Himself. Sixth verse. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk even as He walked. And he stopped and really thought, Lord, how did you walk? There's two outstanding places, I believe, that are spoken that we need to realize. They're very simple. He walked in humility, utter dependence upon the Father. Would you say amen to that?
Amen.
Number two, He walked in absolute obedience to who He was. Those are the two things. Don't complicate it. There they are. Humility and obedience. You'll find it brings light into your life and into your walk. You don't have to be afraid of those around about you. Today, the peer pressure is great, isn't it? Huh? Is it? You think it is? Man, they want you to be like them. God's looking for some Daniels. Your name don't have to be Daniel. It can be something else. Those that will stand. There's no peer pressure. Listen to what Daniel said when they got ready to throw him in the fire. Okay. You can throw us in there if you want to. Heat it up. And he heated it up 7 times. Lord, I just can't take that. We're not going to bow. Now, this is a commitment of our wills to God. We're not in the time of Daniel. We're in the time of grace. Grace isn't something that has no strength. Grace is the power of God to give us the ability to be what He said we are. If there's ever an hour, there was only one Daniel. Man, we need a whole army of Daniels. And we're in the time that's what God is doing. As I say, your name isn't Daniel. We will not bow to the pressures. If you don't have the reality of God, you will bow. But when you have the reality of God, you're not governed by the pressures of this world. What have they got to offer you?
Nothing.
Tell me. All they can offer you is position and money. Is that right?
Yes.
Tell me anything else they could offer you. Huh? Money or position? What does God offer you? Life. To know Him. To experience Him. There's no place of compromise. But it's constantly there. The devil is the accuser of the brother. If he can keep us in an upheaval, he keeps us disturbed without the peace that God gives. But if we're walking in the truth, there's a peace that passes understanding. A peace that's strength. Now, brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. I can't tell you everything about light, because light is the two things that Jesus picked out are very profound. And what they do, and what they are. Light is God. There's no darkness in you. And as you see here, if we love our brethren, we abideth in the light. And there is no occasion of stumbling. No occasion of stumbling. He that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. In other words, God has given to us his life. There's one thing that makes you different. You can love your enemies. You can't do that separate from God. Don't try, because you can't do it. But in God, you can love your enemies. Love those that despitefully use you. Pray for them. Only if you're in Christ. Only if you have that Spirit that is willing to lay down your life as He laid down His life for others. You all know, as you contact these things, and all of us, we must contact these different areas. We will contact these different areas to where people hate us. Count it all joy. I'm not looking for them, but I know they're there. I don't go out trying to beat the bushes to see who hates me. But beloved, if I love God, I know the world hates me. We don't believe that, see? We believe that we can know God and be loved by God and the world will love us. The love of God is separate from the love of the world. It's two different things. If you're in Christ, they hated Him, they're going to hate you. Maybe you haven't encountered that, you will. If you just, in the right circumstance, you'll find that they hate you because you stand for something. Now, let's look at the other side for just a moment. Because the old king there, he slept a sleepless night that night that Daniel laid on the necks of the lions and slept away, man. He was sleepless. He was the world. And he had a concern. He had some uprightness in his heart, not righteousness that came by faith. But he liked Daniel. He had a place for him. I mean, he didn't want Daniel to be hurt. And there are those out there that don't want to do this, but they don't want you to be hurt. But if you learn to just compromise a little bit, you won't be hurt. This was a king that had made the decree that they should bow, all to bow, and Daniel was the ones in his crosshair. He was the one that was been told that he doesn't bow, he prays. He doesn't bow to your image. And yet here's the king over here saying, Daniel, are you alive? Is your God? That's what the world's looking for. Is your God? Is your God alive? Or do you only worship the God of this world? Are you alive, Daniel? Hello, Daniel. Are you alive down there in the den? Has your God kept you? Live forever, King. I'm alive. You see what I'm saying? The world can only find when you are the light in the midst of the darkness. When you have something that it does not have. That means no compromise. Not even a little bit. Are you afraid to stand out, to be different? I'm not talking about in rebellion. I'm not talking about as a renegade. I'm talking about as a child of God. Because this morning, if you're a child, you're different. You're different than the world. And the world's going to hate you. And you might as well settle that in your heart. I'm committed to Jesus Christ. I'm committed to what He is doing. I'm committed to that relationship with Him. Because I can't make it without the relationship. I can't just profess Jesus Christ unless I have a relationship with Him. No sense in you sitting here this morning and say, you know, I love the Lord. And it's not real. You're not committed in all of your whole heart to Him. It won't work. But when you're committed, He is the one that uplifts you. He's the one that takes you through. He's the one that gives you the wisdom, the knowledge. He brings the brightness of His light right into every circumstance that you are involved in. You don't have to shout it out, just shine. We heard that, you heard that simple song, you know. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. That sounds so simple. That's exactly what God wants you to do, is just let your light shine. Not to be a preacher out here that's proclaiming and condemning everything. Just let your light shine. The greatest are going to be the least, and the least are going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. So if you're worried about doing something great for God, just let your light shine. But there's got to be some light there to shine. It cannot be that which is born out of compromise. There's no fear in perfect love. And that is if you're in love with God. Single eye. Salt. And if you're not disturbing and irritating situations, just by your life, not by your words. The words will come as God will lead you. Let your words be by grace and seasoned with salt. Glory. When you speak, don't just speak off the top of your head. Don't just grab some verse that you know. Speak because God has given you something to say. And it'll be seasoned with salt. In other words, it will affect, it will irritate. And don't be disturbed when your words irritate. Glory? What do you want? Everybody to accept everything you say? You can't believe that because you don't accept everything I say, I know. I hope you ponder it. Hope you pray about it. But we need to realize that our lives must be that light and salt. And if we irritate things, we can't be disturbed. This morning, let me put it around another way to you. Paul, as he spoke, he said, I wasn't concerned in pleasing man. And this morning, we're not concerned with pleasing you. First, I must have the pleasure of my Father. But if we come on the basis of trying to please each other, we'll never please God. But if we please God, and we're walking in the light, we will have fellowship with each other, and we will rejoice in the peace that passes all understanding together. What I'm saying this morning is very simple. There is that which comes to put out the light and take away the sever of our lives. And that is compromise. He just wants you to compromise a little bit. Not much, just a little bit. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to make drunkards out of your harlots. Just compromise. He's already done his work. God wants light and salt. And you are, beloved, there's no other place that God has. You are the light and salt of this area. Along with other Christians that are really in Christ. And don't we reach out to try to find other Christians and find fellowship with other Christians? I hope that we don't think that we're the only ones. And when you find them and you're walking in the light together, there's fellowship with them. It's not fellowship in what group do you belong to? That's no fellowship in that. Come on. Is that what your question to them is? What denomination do you belong in? No fellowship in that. You should already know that that there is not what God is doing. Yes. We've got to get down to some more serious questions. What are you walking in? What's the light? What's the revelation? What is God speaking to your heart? Get out of all of this other thing, because we're too prone to try to put people in kind of a box, right? If they tell us what group they belong to, we got the box right there for that group. We're not here putting people in boxes. We're light and salt. We're here that people can be brought into the kingdom of God. To be light and salt means to be enveloped in your heart with His love. Thinking nothing of yourself, but willing to lay down your life that others could live. That's what Jesus did, and that's what we are to do. That's what husbands are to do for their wives. Give of yourself. Lay down your life for others that they can live. God's not going to change His ways, because His ways are perfect. Some of us just don't want to lose our lives, right? You're not losing your life. You're laying down His life. His life you're living. Amen? It's a life of sacrifice. It's not living to ourselves. Our lives is being lived out by faith to the glory and praise of our Father, which is in heaven. It's only as we move this morning with real purpose in our hearts, that we're going to see these things come into expression. Remember, a singleness of eye If you're double-eyed, you're full of darkness. How great is that darkness? You know what it means to be blind to the things of God, to be walking in darkness? But if you're single-eyed, if your eyes is single on God, your life is full of light. And He'll bring understanding, and all of it's going to be in life that you can walk it out, that you can live it out. Don't think that God's going to give you a special little thing here just for you. God never gives you anything for you. Whatever God gives you is for somebody else. When Jesus Christ came and died, was it for Himself? Who was it for? It's all fine. It was for me. Right? wasn't it for you? Isn't that the whole thing? It was for me. He didn't die for Himself. He died for me. And that's what I'm saying. As we move on, we've got to see that the laying down our lives is for others. Because we're too prone. And I say this, you know, I, with humility in my heart, we're too prone to want something for ourselves. What if He never gives you anything? All He wants you to do is just pour out your life for others, lay down your life. That'd be a glory. A cup of water. I didn't know when I did that, Lord. You just keep laying down your life for others. This changes our whole attitude about things. This puts love where it's supposed to be. Not in a feeling, but in action. Come on. Love that's acted out. Love that's willing to lay down our lives that others can live. Love that stands true to the purpose of God. How many of us this morning could stand the test of Stephen? You know, before they started stoning him, he was there preaching the word. And when the stones started to fall and the life started to leave, he said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do." He was there for God. It says that he looked up into heaven. They were ready to receive him. That's the only one we need to please, is the one that's going to receive us. One thing that stands out, I've heard it brought time and time again. This is the first time that Jesus Christ stood to His feet to receive a martyr from this earth. One that was willing to lay down His life that others could live. Beloved, the time is upon us. We don't have to wait for another day, another week. The time is upon us. God will bring you in contact with those along the way that need light. Be light. If your salt irritates, praise the Lord. If it preserves, praise the Lord. It does two different things. But if you've lost your salt, you're not good for anything. You're not even good for the dunghill. You know what it says? That's why this morning we need to come again to that place of letting God speak to our hearts. I'm sure that at Calvary there was a heart that was broken. A heart that was poured out. A heart that was continually reaching out even in suffering. We know nothing of the suffering of the cross. I'm not even talking about when God laid our sins upon Him. I'm talking about just the pure natural suffering of a cross that takes and actually takes and squeezes the area of where you breathe to where you have to gasp for every breath. It's in the natural. Much less being willing to die that others can live. Taste of that death That's what he said. If you're willing to die, then you can live. But if we're not willing to lay down our lives, then we will compromise. Our goal, our inheritance, is what? Him. Not what he can give us. And then we have a little cabin up there somewhere, or a mansion. My inheritance this morning is Jesus, the Lord Himself. He is my life. He is my all. He is my peace. I'm just telling you what He is to each one of us here. It's not just to me. It's to all of us. And He wants to make Himself more and more to us, to where nothing has meaning except in Him. So may the Lord open up our eyes to see, our hearts to understand. Don't try to just understand Him by the natural mind. You'll never do it. You don't come to God by reason. The heart. If you seek Him with your whole heart, you'll find Him. And that doesn't mean you do it one time and you find Him and you say that's enough. You seek Him all the time. Constantly before Him, knowing Him, experiencing Him. Relationship. Get that little track before you leave. If it runs out here, we'll get some more for next time. But it is something to share with others and something that should let us speak to our own hearts. Because as many times we think that we're doing something and we're not experiencing God. If we're not knowing Him, we're not doing anything. Praise Him. Let's bow our hearts here this morning and lift them before the Lord. Father, we need that fresh anointing in our hearts. That fresh working, Lord, of the greatness of Yourself. That love that goes beyond our feelings, our mind, that grips our very soul. Lord, this morning, that we may know You're working. You may move, Lord, in power. You may fulfill Your purpose in each one of our lives. Lord, our desire this morning is to be a shining light for You. To be salt wherever You place us. Whoever we come in contact with. Lord, that we may be what You want us to be. Lord, lead us into a greater understanding of what it means to walk in life and to walk in faith and to walk in the Spirit. To walk in You. To walk in relationship with all that You are. Lord, we do need, Lord, the understanding that the Spirit of God can give us. This morning we pray for it. We pray, Lord, and ask. Touching, Lord, the very portals of heaven. You said if two agree. Lord, we do agree this morning. Move upon our hearts. Lord, establish us in the greatness of Yourself. Let us see once and for all, there's only one thing that really matters. Yes. And that's our relationship with You. Amen. Everything else will fall into place. But when that's not in its proper place, nothing has any meaning. Lord, we bless You this morning. Thank You for the greatness of what You have done. For Your love poured out. And for the continued working of Your Spirit in our hearts and lives this morning. Lord, that we may know You. We bless You, Lord, and ask You to meet with those that are not in our midst this morning. Lord, for one reason or another, You know their needs. And for them, Lord, we hold them before Your mercy seat. Lord, that You may flow into them that you may gather at. Lord, as you have met many of us, Lord, as we humble ourselves before you, Lord, you have met with us in power. And Lord, we ask you to meet with them in power. Meet with us in power. Touch us, Lord, just with your hand of mercy. Prepare us, Lord, for the things that are far before us tomorrow, even today. Bless us in our fellowship, one with another. Give us greater purpose and understanding in the working out of it. Lord, let us enter into the joys of this working. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.